Mark chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 32 and read through the 38th verse. Verses 32 to 38, Mark chapter 1, verse 32. Boy, it's good to see everybody here this evening. I don't know whether it's because we're here earlier or something else, but last Wednesday night, there was just a gloom in this place. I could see it when you walked in. I said, "Oh Lord, people, their hearts are heavy. I can see it on the countenance of their faces." And I'm not seeing that as bad tonight. Amen? People are a lot more upbeat and seem like they're a little bit more perky and cheerful. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for it. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." O God, please bless the preaching of Thy Word this evening. Please, Lord, convict and strengthen our resolve and our discipline and our determination to follow the example of our blessed Savior, You, Lord Jesus, that You left for us in this passage. Amen. An unknown poet wrote, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray." It's very easy for us to get so busy that we do not think we have time to pray, is it not? It's easy for me as a pastor. It's easy for anybody in Christian ministry, Christian vocation. And I'm sure it's easy also for anybody on what we would call a secular job, or even for somebody that's retired. It seems like there's always things pushing for your time. And so we get so busy that we just get the idea. We don't really come out and say it, but in our subconscious we just get the idea that we really don't have time to pray as we know we ought to. And so we rush into the day and rush through the day without sincerely seeking the presence of the Lord or the blessings of the Lord or the guidance of the Lord. Just kind of doing things in our own strength, in our own way, according to our, you know, our experiences and so forth, a little bit of experience we've got. Not seeking the Lord's guidance and direction. And then, at the end of the day, perhaps throughout the day, we said to ourselves, "You know, I know I'm so busy, I hadn't had time to pray this morning. But I tell you what I'm going to do. At the end of the day, I'm going to make some time for the Lord." But then at the end of the day, we're so weary. And by then, we're so overloaded and distracted by the cares of this life that we're too tired and distracted to enjoy any time with the Lord. And so instead of spending time with Him, we might say, "Lord, please give me a good night of rest." But it's really, it's just kind of a little formality. And we lay down and we go to sleep. And we're really not spending quality time with the Lord. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, surely the Lord understands." But does He? Well, in one sense, yes, the Lord does understand. He understands life stresses and our bodily limitations, because He walked in our shoes. The book of Hebrews 4:15 says of Him, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Otherwise, all of our weaknesses, He's touched by them, because He's lived in our as man on this earth. And the Bible says He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And yes, the Lord got tired, He got weary, He got hungry, He got thirsty. And so, in one sense, yes, He does understand that we get tired and weary and distracted and so forth there. But there's another sense in which the Lord does not understand. You see, Jesus does not understand our using life stresses and our body limitations to justify our neglect of Him. For when He did walk in our shoes, He was very careful to set an example for us to follow, and the example that He set for us was to make time for prayer. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that what? That ye should follow in His steps." And so, yes, He understands in a sense, He knows that we get distracted, that we get busy, that we get tired, we get weary. But He does not understand in the sense that He's left us a pattern to follow, for us to look at and say, listen, before we get worn out and before we get so distracted during the day, we need to make sure that we take time to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what He's setting for us. That's an example He's setting for us right here in the text. If you look at the text, I begin reading there along about what was verse 32. But if you were to back up, you would see the Lord has had a very busy day. A very busy day. And then when I picked up at verse 32, it says, "And at even when the sun did set." So He's had a very busy day, and when most men would go home and just, you know, flop down in exhaustion, the Lord here, I'm sure He's tired, I'm sure He's weary, but He can't get away from things. And so even though the sun is set, they're still bringing people to Him, people that have all kinds of diseases, people that are possessed with devils. Verse 33 says, "And all the city was gathered together at the door." Then the next verse tells us that He healed many of those that were sick and divers disease. He cast out many devils. He suffered not the devils to speak, so forth. So He's had a busy day, and then when most men would be resting, He's still under stress. He's still got pressure on Him. He's got people demanding His time. And the Lord Jesus Christ, at whatever time it was, whenever the crowd finally dispersed, He realized this: tomorrow is going to be another very demanding day. Tomorrow the people are going to come after me again. And they're going to be demanding my attention. And they're going to have real legitimate needs. And they're going to be wanting me to minister to them. And He realized that was going to take place. The next day was going to be a very demanding day. And so realizing that, verse 35 tells us that in the morning, after that very busy day and night, the next morning, rising up when? A great while before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Otherwise, before anybody else got up that morning, realizing as soon as they got up, they were going to be converging on Him, He said, "I'm going to beat the crowd up. And I'm going to go out, I'm going to spend some time all alone with my Heavenly Father." And so that's what He did. Now that's a pattern that He's setting for us. Now, the Lord's disciples, they did not get up that early. They awoke a little later and they realized He's not here. And so they went seeking Him to tell Him of the demands that the people were making for His attention already. Before He finished that time alone with the Father, the people are started getting up themselves, and they're gathering around the house, and they're wanting to know where He is. They're wanting His attention. They want Him to minister to Him. And we see that in verse 35, because verse 36, it says, "And Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him, and when they had found Him, they said unto Him, 'All men seek Thee.'" Lord, there's already a crowd there just waiting for You. They're seeking You. Now, I want you to understand something. What these people were wanting from the Lord, their demands were not for evil, sinful things. And their needs were not imagined or trivial. Their needs were real. There's people coming that have sicknesses and diseases and probably a demon possession and demonic oppression and so forth there. These are very, very real needs. But here's the interesting thing that happens. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, 'Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth.'" Jesus, instead of yielding to the demands of the people, followed the will of His Father. Now, he's been alone with the Lord, been alone with his Father. And he's been praying, and I'm sure as he's praying, he's seeking, "Now, Father, what do you want me to do today? I know that the people are going, there's going to be a lot of demands for my attention. I know these people are going to want me here. But Lord, what do you want? Father, what would you have me do today? I want to walk in your perfect will." And obviously, as he was there in that solitary place with his Father, the Father told him, he says, "You know something? You need to move on. You need to move on. You don't need to yield to the demands of the people here. But I want you to go somewhere else, and I want you to minister to the needs of the people in another place today." The Father's leading him to do that. And that's why he knew that he had to leave. Man, I tell you what, that's a lot of pressure on a person, isn't it? Here's people over here with real needs. Help me, help me, help me. And you love them and you want to help them. But at the same time, you realize this, there's people over here that have needs as well. That is just as great or even greater perhaps. He's never been this other place and helped them at all. And so the Father says, "All right, I want you to go over here. I want you to go there." And that's a hard thing to do at times. We let people dictate our schedules and dictate what we do during the day instead of seeking the will and the guidance of our Heavenly Father. And whenever we do that, you can mark it down. You will have more on you than you can ever accomplish if you let other people determine what God would have you do, I would say. No, you have to let God determine what He would have you do. Now, what we find here in this passage is this. We find a great example the Lord's left us to follow. Instead of rushing into the day determined to satisfy the expectations and the needs and the demands of the multitudes, we need to begin by spending some time with the Lord and let Him direct our day. And when He directs our day, you can mark this down, things are going to go a lot smoother. People might not understand what you do. And some people might actually get a little bit upset with you because you didn't give them the attention that they felt you should have. But if the Lord's directing your day, you'll find that things will go a lot smoother. I found this, a lot of people that have demanded so much of my time that it proved to be pretty much wasted time because they did not respond to my ministering to them at all. And I've often wondered if I'd been more sensitive to the will of the Lord and said no to them, would I have not been better off? Would I have not had more fruit in my ministry? No, whenever the Lord's directing our day, things are going to go much smoother. As I said, the poet wrote, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray." But then the poet went on and wrote, "Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered." He answered, "You didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, 'Why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me, answered me, but you didn't seek." No, you didn't start the day right. You just went out and made your own plans, let other people dictate what you were going to do. You didn't seek my will, my guidance, my blessings. And so now, you see where it's got you. Your day's not turning out good at all. I want you to understand, if you seek the Lord early, seek Him first thing in the morning, then your day's going to go much better. Now, this matter of not having time, or we think we don't have time, we actually do. We just let some other things go. We waste so much time, do we not? We waste so much time. Television, internet, all that mess, you know, Facebook. Oh, my Lord. We waste so much time. And then we say we don't have time to spend with the Lord. Yes, we do. We just make Him a priority. But this matter of not having time for the Lord, to us, it may not seem like it is that big a deal. But I want you to understand something. It is a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing. It implies at least two things, probably more, but two that have just been on my heart the last several days. When I don't make time for the Lord, it implies, first of all, that I think that God cannot get along without me. God just can't get along without me. You know, Lord, we think, and we won't say this out loud, but our actions show what we're thinking in our subconscious. And so we think, Lord, I know You would enjoy us spending some time together. And the Lord does enjoy us spending time with Him. And that's an amazing thing to me. But we think, Lord, I know You would enjoy us spending some time together, but if I take time to spend with You, things are just going to fall all apart around here. If I take time to spend with You, Lord, the grass is going to be knee high, and Lord, the house is going to be filthy, and the laundry is going to be piled up in the closet, the groceries aren't going to be bought this week, and the meals aren't going to be cooked. If I take time to spend with You, Lord, the church, I mean, this is how I can think, there's somebody working in a church. If I take time to spend with You, well, Lord, there won't be a sermon prepared. There won't be scheduled services prepared. If I take time to spend with You, Lord, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? Who's going to plan out the church calendar? You know what? Whenever we do things like that, basically what we're saying is this, Lord, You just can't get along without me. I can't stop long enough to spend time with You, because if I do, the world around me is going to fall apart. Lord, you just got to understand, you got to do without me today, because You can't do without me. Now I want to tell you something. That's an evil attitude to have. That's an evil attitude to have. And it is also a fallacy. Because the truth of the matter is, the Lord can get along fine without any of us. He got along pretty good before we were here. And He'll get along pretty good after we're gone. You see, every man who has ever died is a testimony to the fact that God can get along without him. Isn't it? And you're not an exception, and I'm not an exception either. So whenever I say to myself, I've got so much to do, Lord, and a lot of it is in Your work. I've got so much to do that I just can't take time to pray today. We're actually saying by what we're doing, Lord, You just can't do without me. You can't handle this without me. A second reason that it's so evil is this. It says that we think we can get along without God. It says that we think that we can get along without God. Lord, we say to ourselves, but not in our subconscious. Not, we're not going to come out and say this, because if somebody came out and said it, we'd say, well, he's a blasphemer. But by our actions, this is what we're thinking. Lord, I know You would enjoy us spending some time together, but if I take time to spend with You, I'm not going to be able to get everything done that has to be done. And so, Lord, I'm just going to neglect You today, and I'm going to get out here and get it done. Otherwise, I can get along without You. I can just get along fine without You. During the day, if I run into a major problem, I might say, God, yeah, I need You to intervene here. But more than likely, I can handle this pretty much today. I don't really need to begin the day by seeking Your guidance, Your will, Your direction. Lord, I've got to get out there and get at it. I can handle life without You. And so we rush into the day in the strength and the wisdom of our flesh, and then we wonder why it seems that nothing goes right. We wonder, I guess, is because we don't want to admit that we know. And we wonder why things aren't going right. So we just rush out there in our strength and our wisdom, and it all falls apart. All kinds of things happen, and we say, Lord, why in the world are things just not going right? Now, I'm going to tell you what, you will be amazed at how many things God will work out for you even as you pray. If you just run out in the world and not pray, you're going to have to deal with them in the power of your flesh and the wisdom of your flesh. But you'll be amazed if you'll take time, even though you say you don't seem like you got time, if you'll take time to get in a solitary place, all right, and spend some good quality personal time with the Lord, you'll be surprised at how many things He'll work out for you even as you pray. He'll give you answers to things, solutions to things, wisdom to know how to deal with things. how to reorganize your schedule and so forth, if you'll just take time to pray. Martin Luther, he is often quoted as saying this. He said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." Now, we're just opposite. We say we're so busy we can't spend 3 minutes in prayer. Luther said, "I have got so much to do today, I have to spend at least 3 hours in prayer." And from what I understand about Luther's life, his early morning hours are dedicated to the Lord. He was alone with the Lord. He realized this: I need God's direction, I need God's blessings and so forth in my life. Oftentimes when I'm praying in the morning, a lot of times when I'm closing out my prayer time, I'll say something like this. I'll say, "Lord, I'm going to face things today I have no idea I'm going to face, but You know about it. People are going to come to me for counsel and advice. I'm going to be faced with a problem today that I'm not anticipating. Please, God, help me. Please, You see what's going to happen out there. Please, God, help me. Be with me in those times. I'm not going to have time to get along with You and pray for 30 minutes about it. That time, I'm going to need Your wisdom then. I'm asking You for it now." No, we need to pray. We need to pray. Martin Luther also said this. I like this little quote. He said this about prayer. He said, "The less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes." Oh, that's true. The less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes. I know I personally am amazed at how many times when I'm stressed over what to preach, that the Lord will give me a sermon while I'm praying. Now, I'm going to tell you what. People think being a pastor and preaching and so forth, so that's just a piece of cake. You know, he gets up there, opens his mouth wide 3 times a week, and the Lord fills it up. But you try to preach 3 times a week, year after year after year, to the same people. I mean, you can't repeat yourself. They'll know it. Some of you write right in the margin of your Bible, and you know if I preach from the same text twice in 10 years, don't you, huh? It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. And I'll tell you what, you start getting along there about near the end of the week, you know, and you still haven't got peace with God about what you ought to do. I'm going to tell you what the temptation to do is this. Is just get you a commentary and a Bible and lock yourself away and just dig in there and say, "I've got to get something out of here." And that's a big mistake whenever I do that or anybody other preacher does that. I have found this. If I just get along with the Lord and pray, if I make time for Him, day after day after day, it's just amazing how in the middle of a prayer meeting with God, that the Lord give me a message. Sometimes I'll be praying to Him and I'll pray a message to Him. I say, "Oh, wow. Lord, that's what You want me to preach, isn't it?" You see? But if I didn't pray, I'd be struggling. And it's hard enough even when you pray. So I'm saying, the Lord just, a lot of times while you're praying, He'll give you answers. And I'm going to tell you, we need the Lord's daily leadership as much as we need the Lord to provide our daily bread, do we not? We've talked the last few Sundays about, you know, the Lord's teaching on prayer. And we said this, He said, "Pray, give us this day our daily bread, or day by day our bread." And, we need that food. That's important. We need that. But then you realize also, we said this, that He talks about more about praying for our personal spiritual needs than He does about our personal physical and material needs. He says, "I need You to forgive me. I need You to lead me not into temptation. I need You to deliver me from evil." We need the Lord's leadership not to fall into the traps of the devil out there in the world, not to be caught off guard, not to let the Lord down. So we need that daily leadership. How foolish we are to just run out into the day because we got so much to do without seeking God's wisdom and leadership. When you begin the day seeking the Lord's guidance and blessing, if something does go wrong, then you realize what? That God has a reason for allowing it. Because you've asked God, you've sought His blessings that morning. You realize that it's not necessarily because of your foolishness, but you realize this: I've sought God's wisdom, I've got His direction for the day, and now I'm out here in the middle of the day, and something is not working out like I thought it would, And instead of saying, "Oh my Lord, I know I should have prayed this morning. I know I've messed up. Oh God, forgive me." We look at that and say, "You know, I ask God to guide me today." And the fact that things aren't turned out like I thought they would, obviously God's got some reason for allowing this to happen to me. And so you don't get so frustrated and aggravated and agitated about things. Instead, you look at frustrations as God's intervention, as His guidance, or His teaching instead of what people call bad luck. I don't believe in luck for a Christian. But so many times we think, "Oh, this just it's just horrible, bad luck day." No. If you've sought God's will, God's wisdom, and you've got His guidance, and something happens like that, you say, "Oh, God's intervening. I don't know why. Maybe God will show me when I stand before Him one day in eternity, but God's intervening." Divine detour, somebody said, will save you a lot of problems. God's divine detours will save you a lot of backaches. I'm talking about physical problems. And a lot of headaches. I'm talking about stresses. And He'll also save you a lot of heartaches. That is burdens and troubles that we bring on ourselves. If we just His detours. And I got a feeling that when we get to heaven that we're going to be surprised at things that we were so aggravated about happening. We'll look at that and say, "Now I see, God, thank You that You brought that in my life, or allowed that in my life to detour me around something that would have been more harmful to me." What appears to be unexpected inconveniences will actually prove to be divine providences in our lives. We need this. We need this. Remember what the poet said. He said, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled all around about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, 'You didn't ask.' I tried to come into His presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, 'Why, child, You didn't knock.' I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered, 'But You didn't seek.'" And then the poet closed his little poem out with these beautiful words, this beautiful thought. He said, "I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray." That's the pattern the Lord set for us. He had so much to accomplish, He had to take time to pray. And because He did, the Father directed His direction He went, instead of just being overwhelmed by the demands of the people. How we need to seek God's wisdom and blessing at the beginning of each and every day. May God help us to learn this lesson from our blessed Savior. Let's stand.